Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here once again to take you on another small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will cover the resurrection of the flesh, questions 1010 to 1011, and start heaven, hell, and purgatory, questions 1012 to 1013.
Enjoy.
Question 1010. Is the doctrine of the resurrection of the flesh a reference to reincarnation as taught by the spirits?
How could it be otherwise? This expression is similar to so many others that only appear to be nonsensical to those who take them literally and are driven to disbelief. However, give it a logical interpretation, and those whom you call freethinkers will accept it without difficulty, precisely because they are able to rationalize it. Make no mistake, such freethinkers want nothing more than to believe. Like everyone else, perhaps even more so, they long for the future, but they cannot accept what is absurd to reason. The doctrine of the plurality of existences conforms to the justice of God, and it alone can explain what is otherwise inexplicable. Why do you wonder that this principle is found in religion itself?
Question 1011. Then, in the dogma of the resurrection of the flesh, does the Church teach the doctrine of reincarnation?
That is obvious. This doctrine is the consequence of many things which have gone unnoticed and which will soon be properly understood. Before long, the Church will realize that Spiritism relates at every step to the very text of the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, the Spirits have not come to subvert Christianity, as some claim. On the contrary, they have come to confirm and sanction it through irrefutable proofs. And since the time has arrived to replace figurative language, they speak without allegories and give things a clear and precise meaning that cannot be the object of any wrong interpretation. That is why it is simply a matter of time before there will be more sincerely religious and believing persons than there are today. St. Louis.
Author's remarks for question 1011. Science has demonstrated the impossibility of resurrection according to the common idea. If the remains of the human body actually remained homogeneous, even though dispersed and reduced to dust, we might conceive of their being reunited at some determined time. Such is not the case, however. The body is composed of diverse elements, oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon, etc. Through decomposition, these elements are dispersed and will serve to form new bodies in such a way that the same molecule of carbon, for example, will have entered into the composition of many thousands of different bodies. We are only speaking of human bodies, leaving out those of animals. Consequently, an individual may have in his or her body molecules that belong to humans of earlier times. The same organic molecules that you absorb from your food, for instance, may have come from the body of an individual whom you have known. Since matter has a definite quantity, and since its transformations are indefinite in number, how could each one of those bodies be reconstituted with the same elements? This implies a material impossibility. The resurrection of the flesh cannot therefore be rationally accepted, except as a figure of speech symbolizing the phenomena of reincarnation. And as such, there is nothing shocking to reason, nothing that may be contrary to the data of science. It is true that according to dogma, the resurrection will only occur at the end of time, while according to the Spiritist doctrine, it occurs every day. Doesn't the image of the final judgment carry a great and beautiful metaphor, which, behind the veil of allegory, hides one of those immutable truths that the skeptics will no longer reject once its true meaning comes to light. Meditate well on the Spiritist explanation concerning the future of souls and their destiny that results from the many trials that they must undergo, and it will be apparent that, with the exception of it being simultaneous, the judgment in which their sins are condemned or absolved is not a fiction, as disbelievers think it is. Let us further consider that this theory is the natural consequence of the plurality of worlds, nowadays perfectly accepted, whereas according to the doctrine of the final judgment, Earth is the only inhabited world. Question 1012. Are there circumscribed places in the universe that are intended for the punishments and pleasures of spirits according to their merits?
We have already responded to this question. Punishments and joys are inherent to the degree of a spirit's perfection. Each spirit carries within itself the source of its own happiness or unhappiness. And since spirits are everywhere, there is no circumscribed or enclosed place for one or the other. As for incarnate spirits, the degree of their happiness or unhappiness depends on the evolution of the world they inhabit.
Subquestion 1012. Accordingly, would heaven and hell not exist as humans have represented them?
They are no more than figures of speech. Happy and unhappy spirits are everywhere. Nonetheless, as we have also told you, spirits of the same order gather together through their mutual sympathy. When perfect, they can meet wherever they desire.
Author's remarks for question 1012. The idea of fixed places of reward and punishment exists only in people's imaginations. It proceeds from their tendency to materialize and circumscribe the things whose infinite nature they cannot comprehend. Question 1013. What is to be understood by purgatory?
Physical and mental suffering. It is a period of expiation. It is almost always on the earth that you make your own purgatory, and that is where God enables you to expiate your wrongs.
Author's remarks for question 1013. What is called purgatory is also a figure of speech that should not be understood as some definite place, but rather the state of imperfect spirits who are in expiation until their complete purification raises them to the plane of the blissful spirits. Since this purification occurs over several incarnations, purgatory consists in the trials of corporeal life.